as we're thinking about this, please open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I want to tell you a little bit about that movie, because I know some of you are like, you've probably heard a lot of things, but on the list of highest grossing films, Frozen, which is 2013, so you think about that, that's 9 years ago, is currently 16th, while Frozen 2 is 10th. Together, listen to this, together they've made over $2.7 billion. That's $2,000 million. Okay, $2,700 million. The original was inspired by Hans Christian Andersen's 1844 fairy tale called The Snow Queen. I don't know if you guys knew this. The characters, Hans Christoph Anna Sven, was a tribute to his name. So think about that, that they think about those kinds of things. Hans Christian Andersen, those characters, those four characters, were a tribute to him. And as you think about the fact that to see this film finally made was fulfilling a dream that Walt Disney had, because he wanted to do this movie, 70 years that was shelved. And so it won Oscars for Best Animated Film and Best Original Song, which we just watched you guys sing so beautifully. It's been translated into 41 languages. The film, of course, features two princess sisters, Elsa, Disney's oldest princess at age 21, and it was actually Idina Menzel, who had auditioned for Tangled, and she ended up getting this. And then Anna, the younger sister, is voiced by Kristen Bell, who fulfilled a longtime dream to voice a Disney character. Bell had seen The Little Mermaid and Aladdin as a preteen and recorded herself singing songs from those films. And those recordings were kept and actually used in her audition, being part of the reason she won the role. So you think about how, who knows what will happen with you guys. You're like, oh, well, I would never be. You don't know. And to dream big and to allow the Lord to use you in however he sees fit. But I want to pray again. I know Pastor Jay prayed, but I want to pray again. So Father, thank you so much for just being able to be together like this, and that you would use this time, God, because we want to do well here. We want to finish well. So thank you for this. And I'm asking that as we're working through this together, that, Lord, you would just use your word how you see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Point number one in this message this morning, thinking about your spiritual life, I want you to look at verse 1 of Philippians 4 with me. And I don't know if in your translation how you have it, but it's kind of joined to the third chapter in mine. But it says this, it says, therefore, remember what we said before when you're doing Bible study? Whenever you see a therefore, you want to know what it's there for. It's joining the third chapter to the fourth chapter. He says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, and that's, I don't know if you have those kind of relationships. I do. I'm blessed to have them. And he goes, my joy and crown. So think about how he's writing this. He's writing this from a prison. Philippians was written from a prison. He may have been shackled next to a Roman soldier. And he's writing this letter that we see a theme throughout of joy. And so I'm thinking, wow, it doesn't take much for me to complain. And this guy is writing from a prison, and he's reminiscing, he's thinking about this church in Philippi that is dear to him, and he goes, therefore, my brothers, okay? And he's pointing back to this chapter 3, wherein he tells us that we don't have to be hopeless as we watch our culture crumble. He's saying to these Christians in Philippi, I want you to remain hopeful for what God can do. And sometimes you guys are handed a lot of bad news. Oh, this is, the world is this, the world is that. And I want you to know, God can do anything. And there's so much hope in him. And I want you to know, your generation is an encouragement to me as I watch you guys. Because I really believe God is doing something. And a revival can start. And a lot of times a revival starts with young people. Their willingness to go, we're going to do what God says. We're going to follow him no matter what. And trust him. And he's going to put things in order So he can be trusted. So he says this. He says, my joy and crown. So he's talking about these people that come alongside. And in Daniel 12:3, we read that those who win souls are wise, for they shall shine as the stars forever. And so you think about, we talked about this morning, the idea of looking forward to heaven. One of the beautiful things about heaven is that there will be people there, if you're willing to share the gospel with them, that a reason, I know it's the sovereignty of God and he does the work, but he uses us. And that through eternity, we can look and say, boy, that was somebody that I had the chance to talk to about Christ. And they went to heaven. And it wasn't me that did it, but God used me in that transaction. And so that's why I'm always encouraging you, if you'd be willing to talk to others about how they can know that they can have a relationship with God. And don't just keep that to yourself. Allow God to use you in that way. And he says this, he says, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So how you're going to stand is standing firm in the Lord. I'm convinced that heaven is a big deal. Just this past year, I did a month of messages on heaven because I feel like we don't talk about it very much. And the only people that really get excited about heaven are old people. I'll talk to them and they'll go, won't be long, I'll be in glory. And they're looking forward because they're tired. A lot of their friends have died already and they're ready. Not that I want you guys to be thinking, you know, heaven's right around the corner for you, okay, because you got some life to live. But I think it's a good thing every now and then to be thinking about the fact that, oh, we got this eternal home. This is something really cool. It's something very special that we have because of Christ. And so as you stand firm, because it's like, I've got some truth that I'm living for. I've got some, not just out there, way out there in glory, but while I'm here, this is truth that I can bank on. And so he says that, and then it's funny how the next sentence, look at that verse 2 with me. He goes, I entreat Yodia and Syntyche, he says, I entreat Yodia, and then he says, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Some pastors, some preachers have called this one lady odious and the other one so touchy, all right? All right? Because what seems to be going on is there's an argument going on. There's some drama going on in the church. And you think about the fact that your name ends up in Scripture and you weren't behaving. Aren't you glad he's not still writing the book? Aren't you glad? Because I hope I might show up and it wouldn't be a good thing. Myers, boy, wasn't he a piece of work, you know? And you think about the fact that he says this and it's written down in Scripture and he's saying, ladies, let it go. So in one moment he says stand firm and then he has to stop and do real life. I'm telling you, that's real life. Church, I love my church family. And we've got a group of elders and we've got a group of deacons and the different roles that they have. But church has issues sometimes that show up. There are people that literally, Pastor Jason, myself, we have to confront because of things they're doing. And you're like, well, that's their business. When you become a part of a church, you become part of a family. And love, you're not doing it all the time. It's not over nitpicky stuff and you offended me. It's like, well, and you could pick the things that some people get worked up about. We've got to go with what the Bible says. But Yodia and Syntyche must have been causing problems in the church. They must have been creating situations that it was starting to affect other people. So much so, Paul is away and he's heard about it. And he's writing this letter that you'd think he'd want to be packed with joy. And he's got to stop in the middle and he goes, I entreat Yodia and I entreat Syntyche, agree in the Lord. It's just, it's one of those reminders of, yeah, while we're here, we still have things. And if there are times where your leaders pull you aside and they say things to you, your parents, other people in your life, understand that's love. They aren't talking behind your back. They're going to you and they love you enough. I can think back over the years of individuals that have done that for me. And guess what? I'm 60. I'm the pastor. And I still have people that do that. People that love me enough to come alongside me and tell me the truth to help me be better. And I'm stopping and saying that to you because some of you may chuck this thing called Christianity or church or whatever because they said this to me and they did. Well, if they're trying to help you, if they're a jerk, you'll know. But I found, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, there are people that have people confront them or they deal with this stuff and they're constantly going from this to this to this to this. And guess what this is? There's a thing in math called a common denominator. You guys know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If somebody has a problem with all of these people, Jafar, your beard is so twisted. Somebody has a problem. And a lot of times it's that one person. And so I'm saying to you, if you seem to keep coming in contact with people and you keep having issues with people, it might be you. And that you would humble yourself and go, Father, this shouldn't be the case. I understand there's going to be times where there's certain people that happens, but these guys, their name ended up in Scripture. And it was, and God didn't have to throw that verse in there. That's the beauty of the Bible. It's so real. It's so honest. And so he's saying, in the midst of a book about joy, I want you to know, there's going to be things that come up. And would you be willing to be teachable? Tell you, biblical counseling is amazingly simple. Interpersonal conflicts will come up, and we got a guy like Paul that comes along and he says, agree in the Lord. And the key is in the Lord. Not just agreeing, but agreeing in the Lord. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So some people think that this person that he's talking about, this worker that came alongside, is that Philippian jailer. Ever hear of that story, Philippian jailer? This is the church in Philippi. The church is being started by Lydia. He's thrown into jail with Silas, and they're chained there, and they start singing songs of praise, and an earthquake hits. Everybody gets freed, and the jailer runs in, and he's got a sword, and he's about to kill himself, because if a jailer would lose his prisoners, he would be put to death. And so he knows, this is my destiny. And Paul stops him. So think about the fact that he may have been beaten by this guy. He definitely he wasn't necessarily treated maybe nicely by this guy. But this is the same guy that was in charge. He's heard them sing these songs of praise. The earthquake hits. He's ready to kill himself. And Paul says, stop. We're all here. And then that's where you get that famous verse, how shall I be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and your house. And many people believe that what happened was he got saved and he got serious about God and that he was part of that church in Philippi. And so it seems that Paul is admonishing him, help these women. They were, by the way, these women were people that worked side by side in the gospel. So Yodia and Syntyche, they had some positive attributes about themselves. And then he's saying, come alongside them and help them. I love that this is so honest about the problems that you can have with people, but that there can be joy as a result of working together. Let's keep going. Verse 4. And you guys know some of these verses because these are those Awana verses. These are those Sunday school verses that you can memorize. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. The key is when I rejoice in the Lord, okay? I don't know about you. I can't always rejoice in my circumstances. I've met people sometimes where you're like, you can be happy in the midst of this stuff. I can't fake it, but I can rejoice in the Lord when I stop and think about him. And he repeats it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because he knows we need to hear it that way. Remember as a kid, there was this guy in my church back in Chicago named Mr. Gabriel. And he was just this kind man that took the time to come alongside us as little children and disciple us. And I remember him, and there was one time, I can't believe I remember this, but you ever have those things where they put your hand on a piece of paper and then they draw that thing around your hand? Okay, this passage of scripture for him was one of those things. And then he would, on that thumb, he would go, rejoice in the Lord always. And then the next thing, as you see the verses, the Lord is at hand, and that's why he did that, okay? Do not be anxious about anything. And he did that for each finger. And as he's talking, I mean, I saw him, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, I was speaking at a funeral, and he came in, and he was like 90-something. Still looked fantastic for 90. And he walks up to me, and we start talking, and he's saying, hey, how's things going? I go, things are going okay. He goes, well, you know, remember, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. And I'm going, this guy lives this. He's still holding on to that. And that's what made him a person of joy. And so Paul is saying, I want you to understand this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to be joyful people. And then verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Okay? The idea here is to avoid extravagance. Because the Lord is here among us, and because he's coming back for us, we don't need to get all caught up in earthly things. Everything in this world will scream to you to get caught up in extravagance. And he's saying to us, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He wants you and I to have heavenly minds as we look at things. No, nothing wrong with having good things. Nothing wrong with doing well. But not making that your idol, not making that thing that you're constantly putting. Look what I've got. Look at the house I've got. Look at the things I've accomplished. It is a joy to be around people that aren't caught up in all that. But yet they can have good things. Do you see the balance there? Not living for that, but if God gives you that, amen. And then wanting to use that for the glory of God. Point number 2. Not just thinking about your spiritual life, but thinking about your secular life. And this is just one verse. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Let me repeat that for you. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Fret and worry indicate a lack of trust. My son, I know that many of you know this, but my son, my youngest, struggled huge with anxiety. And as he was going through it, I just didn't get it, and I'm still learning as I go. I hear constantly about different people struggling with anxiety. And I want you to know, I really think this verse is for you and for all of us in that. That there are so many things that you and I can get anxious about. I literally, every time before I get up to speak, I'm nervous. I want you to know that. So in case you ever look and you go, you must be. I still struggle. But I pray and I ask the Lord to help me. And look what he says. I don't want you to be anxious about anything. And then he gives us a prescription. So he says, I don't want you to be anxious about anything. So that's a huge amount of stuff, okay, which is like everything, all right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and then with thanksgiving, it's tied to gratefulness. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So let me encourage you, those of you that deal with anxiety, how are you doing with prayer? And then gratefulness. Just something to think about and see what the Lord does with that. Point number three, last one. Thinking about your secret life. Thinking about your secret life. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, this is an inner calm or tranquility that's promised to the believer who has a thankful attitude based on that unwavering confidence that God is able and willing to do what is best for his children. So let me ask you, and it's just something to think about, do you believe that God has the best in store for you? When my son was going through the situation, and it was bad. He had to go to the hospital. There were some times where I literally was just confused by God completely, because mental illness is really tough. You just can't understand. It's one thing, and it's not like you breaking your arm is easy or something. But when you break your arm, you go to the hospital. Usually, you get a cast, and okay, then there's different time goes by, and hopefully that'll get. Mental illness is a struggle because it's just like it's like pinning Jell-O to a wall. It's just like nothing seems to work. Okay. And I remember there were times like, how long is this going to last? Is this medicine going to work? Is this going to work? And I remember driving down, there were times where the song by Chris Tomlin called Good Father, I'd be singing that in tears as I'm driving down to the hospital, because I'm saying to God, I want to believe this about you, but you're not coming through like I want you to come through. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Jeremy, you were doing devotions this back when Ben was going through this stuff, and you were talking about your son, and I'm sitting in the front row, and I'm just crying. And I think I went up to you and hugged you and thanked you, and you're like, dude, it's okay. You know, you were like really cool about it and stuff like that. But I was really emotional at the time because I was going through that. And so I want you guys to know that if you're in the midst of something right now, there are individuals here that are really sensitive to that or aware of, because they've been through stuff. Now, my son's doing better now, so it's easier. But I never want to lose sight of that. That I hated going through it. And I remember saying, I'm singing at the top of my lungs, you're a good, good father. And in my heart, what I'm doing is I'm literally going, I want to believe this about you. And right now, I'm really struggling, God. And I think God, what was cool about it is I never felt from him, you jerk, you don't believe. It was like, we're going to get through this. But at the time, I hated it. I hated it. It was so hard. And he's still working on me. But I thank him for that, because I think before that, I would have looked at people that struggled with anxiety and gone, get over it. This is no big deal. And it's made it more realistic to me that this is hard. This is hard. And I really think, I mean, this is back hundreds of years ago, and that's the word he uses, anxious. So it's God's way of going, hey, future generation that will struggle with this, I'm aware of it, and I'm going to put it in my Bible so that you guys can read it and know I love you and I care about you. And I want to give you that peace of God. And then it says it surpasses all understanding. And that refers to a divine origin of peace. It transcends human intellect, analysis, and insight. So think about that. It surpasses all understanding. So when you and I have a peace And there are situations coming up. And God gives it to you. And people are like, man, I don't know how you're handling that. And you could go, it's him. We had our, when I was in Illinois, back in 96, I think, a tornado hit our house. And the house stood, but our roof was hammered, and people from the church came over and helping us. And I remember hearing about, and we were just like doing the thing, and I was trusting the Lord. And I honestly, I don't know how I handled it, but seemed to handle it pretty good. And one of the kids told his parents, he goes, how's Pastor Mark and Kim, how are they handling this so well? We would be, and they go, it's the Lord. And I'm telling you, there was not anything that I remember going, okay, when we go outside, we got to act like everything's okay. Stuff like that. It was a gift from the Lord, okay? And there are times I'll see that with different people, things that hit them hard. And you're like, how are they handling this? The Schneider family. You guys, this past year, you know, like some colleges have hell week. You had hell year, all right? It was tough what their family was handed. And right now, his sister is having a baby. And after that baby is born, it most likely is going to have to go into a situation where it's going to have heart surgery. Right from the get-go. And that's just one thing, okay? But I've watched their family and how they have handled this. And it's a peace that passes understanding. Now, I'm not with them all the time. We don't have cameras set up, you know, so we don't know everything that's going on. But I'm telling you, hasn't it been a blessing? And we're still praying. My wife texted me this morning, you know, like later she goes, yeah, I'm here at April's house, 3 a.m. I'm watching their girls because they're at the hospital. What's the Lord going to do? I don't know. But we got to give these things to the Lord. And he gives a peace that passes understanding. This is what this is for. This is so that when you and I read the scriptures, it isn't this thing that's nebulous that's out there. This is real life. And then look at it. He goes on and he says, and the peace of God passes on us, will guard your hearts. That word guard, a military term meaning to keep watch over. God's peace guards believers from anxiety, doubt, fear, and distress. And then he talks about hearts and minds, and it doesn't seem that he's separating the two. What he's saying, because of the believer's union with Christ, he guards his inner being with his peace. And God wants that for you. He wants that for me. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Finally, brothers. So after all that, and we're getting close to the end of the sermon, so I can say, finally, brothers, sisters, all right? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, that's what is true, that's found in God, in the Holy Spirit, in God's Word. Whatever is honorable, that's worthy of respect. Believers are to meditate on whatever is worthy of awe and adoration, the sacred as opposed to the profane. Whatever is just, that's to think in harmony with God's divine standard of holiness. Whatever is pure, that's morally clean and undefiled. Whatever is lovely, that's pleasing or amiable. Whatever is kind or gracious. Whatever is commendable, that which is highly regarded or thought well of. So all those things God is saying. Here he says, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so let me ask you, as you're dealing with any fears or concerns that you have, what do you dwell on? What are you filling your mind with? Many of you have an understanding. Boy, if I watch this, this is going to be a rough night for me. If I listen to this, and you're wise. I watch some of you with your diets. You're wise with what you eat and not eat because you know, if I eat this, oh, it's going to do a number on me here. I'm saying to you, what is your spiritual diet? What is your mental diet? What are you taking in? And you just, oh, I can handle it. And then later you're like, oh, man, I went here when I did that. He's saying, don't do that. And I'm trying to warn you right now, don't do that. Don't head that direction. You know what you can handle, truly. Last verse here, verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Wow. That's a lot of stuff that Paul's putting on himself. He's saying, all these things that you've seen me model, that's a challenge to me to be that. Okay. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. God is peace. He makes peace with sinners through Christ and gives perfect peace in trouble. So let me ask you today, as you're heading back home tomorrow, how's your heart? Would you do me a favor right now and just bow your head and close your eyes? It's a time between you and the Lord. Let's think about this message and wrapping things up. And we're up in cold weather here. I would hope that as we're around this fire, your body has gotten warm. But as we've been spending time in the Word of God together, that God's used this time as a time that's warmed your heart toward Him. Maybe you've gotten through this weekend and you still kind of have a cold heart toward God or toward others. Maybe there's a relationship back home that you've grown cold. Oh, you function. You live with those people, but there's something between you and them. And if God were writing the book, He'd be challenging you like He did Yodia and Syntyche, and He said to them, agree in the Lord. And maybe between you and your parents, there's a rift. And it could be even of their making. And you've gotten comfortable with that wall. Or maybe somebody at church, or maybe somebody in the youth group. There's something. Would you be willing to humble yourself? First of all, pray, but then be the one that would want to reconcile. And this is a relationship that you should reconcile. It's not one that you would head with them and that person drags you down. How is your heart? Is it frozen? Or has it warmed up to what the Word of God says? And God is calling you to reconciliation. He's calling you to repentance in that area. He's calling you to. Truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, another day. Your joy comes in the morning, and we've been able to spend this time together. I'm asking God to be our encouragement and our peace and help. We pray, Lord, that what you want to accomplish in each life here, that we wouldn't just get through this talk and get through the time of thought afterwards, and then I just move on and I keep doing what I'm doing, even though I know in my heart I shouldn't be doing that. I'd ask you to help each and every one of you, because God, we need it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.